I've always dreamed about having a jazz club, and I'd always been in the restaurant business, and I had a Japanese restaurant called Kanpai, and when that closed, I opened Chris's, and within a year, it became a jazz club.
And what year was that?
1989.
And by this time, you knew a lot of jazz artists. You said you had gone to Paris.
Yes. Dave Burrell and I were best friends in Paris, and through the friendship with Dave, I met every jazz person there was, because I'd stayed, basically 3 years I was there, and Dave just introduced me to everyone.
So when was that?
Mid-60s.
And when you came back to Philadelphia, was Philadelphia a place where homegrown talent was being nurtured and developed?
What really is always going on in Philadelphia is you've got to go back to the early 60s, when the big clubs were the Red Hill Inn in New Jersey, Pep's, Showboat. They were really big venues for jazz and very popular. The local musicians were never given its due in Philadelphia. They had to leave Philadelphia in order to get recognition. No matter who you talk about who was originally from Philadelphia, they were not recognized as great musicians until they left Philadelphia.
Can you give examples?
Clifford Brown. You can go on and on. I mean, Larry McKenna, who is one of my absolute favorite saxophone players, who played at Chris's quite often when I owned it, never traveled for various personal reasons. Jimmy Bruno really didn't become big until he left and came back to Philadelphia. You have Pat Martino, who is gigantic in Japan, still is, it's great. He will fill the house at Chris's whenever he plays there, but still doesn't get the recognition he deserves. The best jazz guitarist in the world was a guy named Joe Pass. He died. In the opinion of most jazz people, Pat Martino became the new Joe Pass. Pat Martino and Jimmy Bruno grew up within two blocks of each other in South Philadelphia.
New York was the place where you had to make it, or somewhere else?
I don't think it's you have to go to New York to prove that you can make it, but they just have more places to play so that you can, in fact, make a living at jazz by going to New York and playing different clubs, where here you only had three clubs.
I was going to say, when was that, when they had three clubs?
That's the early 60s. There were more clubs, smaller clubs, in the late 50s. When I was in my late teens, I was very lucky to see Billie Holiday in person on Ridge Avenue, and when I was like 17 years old.
Do you remember the club?
The Half Note.
So who were the clubs? Do you remember the clubs in the early 60s?
Not all of them, but I mentioned three of them, the Red Hill Inn, the Showboat, Pep's. They were right here on Broad Street, by the way, both Pep's and the Showboat. I think that sort of shows you how big jazz was, because there are two jazz clubs within a block of each other.
What other clubs existed when you started Chris's?
Ortlieb's was one place, and I think that was about it. Ortlieb's was really the only other place. There's also 23rd Street Cafe, which is owned by Mace Thompson, and that has jazz every Tuesday. And that's been going on for a long, long time.
For a while, there was Zanzibar Blue.
But that's 15 years ago. That's my whole point.
What kind of artists would you book?
I tried very, very hard to have local musicians as often as possible, because I think that really is the audience that I really wanted.
So what kind of audiences would you get? People who wanted to come for the music just as you did, or people who were having dinner and thought it'd be nice to have background music, which is different?
Well, I don't think that I ever approached it as background music, because I really did pay attention to the audience if they were too loud, or which is always the balance. The most difficult balance in a jazz club is the audience having a good time but not annoying the players, because the players have to hear what's going on in order to improvise with other players. That's the, no one seems to get that. The audience doesn't understand that. They have to hear other players.
What do you see as the future of jazz in Philadelphia? And is there a key to revitalizing the jazz scene in Philadelphia?
I think more jazz clubs would help jazz clubs. I think the audience is here, but you have to stick with it. You can't have jazz part-time. You have enough players. It's a matter of having enough places to play.
Can you describe some of the audience? When you were running Chris's, describe one of the best nights ever, what the audience wanted and what the interaction was like. Or a good night. It doesn't have to be.
I can actually remember a great night. And that Bobby Watson, who was one of the great alto sax players in the world, played with Jimmy Bruno. And we were absolutely full. There, you couldn't get any more people in the restaurant. There was a line out the door. The music was phenomenal. It, for me, being able to sit and listen to the music is a great night. And I never get that. I'm always working. This night, everything went very smoothly, and even though we were packed, and I had the ability to actually sit and listen, and it was, I never will forget that night. It was Jimmy Bruno and Bobby Watson playing with Craig Thomas, I think, on bass. I don't remember who played drums.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.